Lovely to be here on such a wonderful sunny day. Let me give you just a little bit of an update on the particularly on the work with on the ships at Portbury and Avonmouth docks. I think most of you, if not all, know that I'm the port chaplain there, and I'm a counties evangelist, which enables me to share the gospel with the merchant seafarers that come from all around the world. And it's been busy. It's very hot at the minute, which I'm not complaining about, but you can imagine on a metal ship, it just kind of radiates heat. So I was chatting to a captain on Friday, just up in the bridge, and it's, the sweat's just running off of me. It's like an oven. So, but it's lovely to actually move around the port with the sunshine, rather than what I normally have to contend with is the rain and the winds blowing off the Severn. So, you know, I appreciate the sunshine. I've had some good experiences just recently, good opportunities. One of them was I went on a bulker ship that was taking scrap metal away from Avonmouth, and I'm in the mess room, and all Filipino crew, and I'm chatting to the captain. We're having a lovely time, and he just said to me, can you give mass on the ship? And that would get me lynched there because of the priest and everything. I don't do mass anyway, but you know, could you do mass? I said, well, no, I can't, but I can organize for the priest to come aboard if we can get hold of him, find out where he is. And so I can arrange that. And he had a little think about it, and he said, but you're here now. And I said, well, I know, but I still can't give you mass. He said, well, can you give a blessing? I said, I can give a blessing. And he said, oh, great. He said, I'll arrange for all the crew to come to the mess room, and you can do that. And I said, so, well, if you're going to do that, can I share a little message? And he said, well, yeah, okay. So they organized all the chairs into kind of rows, and got the crew, that everybody that could come to the mess room, sat them down. They put me up the end, and it was lovely. I was able to share the gospel with them, and you know, explain the significance of Christ. Some of them may be religious, but not necessarily know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So it's great to just you know, take maybe 10 minutes, weren't any longer than that, and just introduce them to Jesus. And then I prayed a blessing over them. And then after a number of the crew came up and asked for Bibles, I gave them the Missing Peace gospel booklet, and we had a great time. And I said to the Lord, I'd like to do this every week, if you can arrange it. Because most of what I do is one-to-one or in small groups. And it's not very often. I have been asked to do this before, but it doesn't happen enough for me. I want it to happen every week, where we can kind of get the whole crew and just share the gospel. So I had a lovely time. It was a great blessing. And some of the other blessings I've had recently is where I've met individual Christians on these ships. So I was on a big car ship. Went to the mess room, did, you know, what I normally do, phone cards, giving out woolly hats, giving out the magazines and different things, having a good time with the crew. And then as I was leaving the ship, a young guy was kind of walking alongside me, asking me some questions. And then he just, you know, just asked me, he said, are you a Christian? And I said, I am. I love the Lord very much. He said, I'm a Christian too. He said, but nobody else on the ship is, and I'm finding it very difficult, and it, you know, it's a real struggle. And so I was able to just talk with him, talk into his life, share something of my experiences and that, and we were having a really good time. And he said, oh, can you pray for me? And I said, I can. What do you want me to pray about? He said, anything. Just pray for me. And it was lovely. So you can just picture, we're on this car ship. There's a big ramp where the cars are coming off the ship, they're unloading, so it's very busy, quite noisy. And we just stood there with my hand on this guy's shoulder. We bowed our heads and we just prayed. I prayed for him. I was surprised there went a pile up of cars as people wondered what was going on. But it was just lovely to pray the love of God into this young man's life. He was very encouraged. I was as well. And I got him some extra booklets and that so that he could hopefully share his faith and test me with his fellow crew. So that was great. We had a good time. And on another time, going up the ramp to go on the ship, and there's normally a guy, there's a little table like this, and that's where I signed myself in. And he said, all the crew are busy, they're all working. So I said, that's all right, I'll give you the gifts here. You know, the woolly hats and magazines and booklets and that. So I'm putting them out on the table for him, and he's obviously seen that some of the booklets are Christian. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I am. I love the Lord a lot. He said, I'm a Christian too. He said, but I'm the only Christian on the ship. And anyway, we had a great time together. I prayed for him twice because we were enjoying ourselves so much. And it was lovely. And I also gave him lots of booklets and stuff that he could use to encourage other crew. So that's kind of very recent, some of these experiences. And in between it all, it's kind of many conversations and chatting about Jesus, but those particularly stick in my mind at the moment. So it's exciting times. Keep praying for the work on the ships. It's been really good. There are challenges as well. We've got staff issues within the Seafarer Centre, which drives me up the wall, I've got to be honest. But we can pray into that so that I can focus on the work that needs to be done. We're reaching out with the crew. So keep praying for the seafarers. But my own preaching ministry has been encouraging as well. Last week, a young lad gave his life to the Lord in the most unexpected way, really, because I was halfway through the sermon when he walked in. And I thought, ah, you've missed the best bit. You know, I kind of sensed he didn't belong to the church. And I was like, Lord, the timing's rubbish. And, but anyway, I still was able to share the gospel and that. And afterwards, he came up to me and wanted to give his life to the Lord. Very genuine. His girlfriend was with him as well. And so that was a great time. And also, one or two know that each month I'm on the Thought for the Day on Radio Bristol. And that's been very good and providing lots of opportunities to share the gospel. With counties, each month you've got to fill out a bit of a kind of a feedback report on what you're doing. And it's somewhere in there, it says how many people have you preached the gospel to. And I put 500,000 for last month. I thought, well, you know, effectively it's about that in Bristol, you know. So I stuck that down there. And but yeah, keep praying for they might do. But it's lots of opportunities there, so praise God. And keep praying for the work that I'm doing. Anyway, time's marching on. When do we finish? Is it 1:45? Ish. Not going to start throwing stuff at me, are you? Or is a trap door somewhere? Anyway, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. And it's concerning the church in Sardis. So let me read from verse 1-6, Revelation chapter 3. I'll have a swig of water while you're turning your pages. Spitting feathers. I actually heard a good expression the other day. Somebody said, my mouth feels like Gandhi's flip-flop. I have to remember that one. Anyway, Revelation 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not sore their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me just commit this to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, we don't always find the book of Revelation easy. And sometimes it can be quite confusing. But we ask you, Jesus, that today we would take on board what you want to say to us. Lord, speak into our lives. In your precious name. Amen. Stand there, drink. I've only just started. Oh, good. When I read about any of the seven churches in Revelation, and with Sardis included in this, I always feel a sense of, there's kind of like a compassion. And so I feel for them. I feel for them because, all these churches are kind of at their dirty washing aired for everybody to see. We sit here, don't we? We've just been hearing about Sardis, just read about them. You can almost feel people tutting, can't you? Where they're sort of, they're messing up. You've got a good reputation, but there's this and this, And I kind of feel a bit sorry for them, in a way, because I try to think what it would be like for us. You imagine there was a big list of all the churches, in our local area, and to kind of, for God to kind of speak directly into your church, but for everybody to hear it. It's quite cringy. Well, I belong to a church in Bristol that's got a great reputation, reputation for being alive and lots going on. And, I think we'd all sort of gasp with horror if there was a big but, for my own church. And I'm sure you feel the same. So I just kind of wanted to say that at the beginning. It's easy for us to kind of, really? God, dear. So a bit of sympathy for the church in Sardis. They got a wonderful reputation. A reputation of being alive, of being a vibrant church. That's the opinion of many. But from the Lord's perspective, and that is the only perspective that is, his opinion is the only one that's important, he says it's dead. And that must have been quite a shock for some of these people. It was a fruitless church. Fruitless church, all intents and purposes. It was a well-kept mausoleum. Beautiful and dignified on the outside, but inside full of the bones of dead men. And it starts to kind of, as you look at this church, it becomes quite apparent that things aren't all that people thought they were. John MacArthur, he describes it as a museum in which stuffed animals are exhibited in their natural habitats. Everything appears to be normal, but nothing is alive. I thought that was great. A museum full of stuffed animals. But the impression I get from reading about Sardis is that the church is dying of indifference and apathy. Dying of indifference and apathy, which has made the church in Sardis ineffective in reaching the community. So, while we're kind of looking at Sardis, let's be thinking about ourselves. Let's consider where we are in all of this. So is the church in Sardis finished? You know, is that it? You know, was this a word from God? No, it's not finished, because God is a God of opportunities, a God of new beginnings, of new starts. And what I like is this little quotation from Charles Swindoll. He says about Sardis, he says, "What begins as a deathbed scene, however, suddenly shifts to an emergency room drama. Rather than officiating over a funeral, Christ makes a last-ditch attempt to revive the hearts of the saints in Sardis." I like that. You know, it's that kind of emergency room situation where God wants to bring the church back to life. So that's them. We've kind of got a good impression of Sardis now. But what about you and me? What about us? Where are we in all of this? Are we one of the stuffed animals that makes up this museum, where everything appears to be normal on the outside, but inside we're dead? You know, there's no life. Christ is not at work in us. I certainly realized in my life, in the early years, it was far more beneficial and fruitful if I invested time and energy in getting my life right before God, instead of trying to sort of, you know, I'm trying to tell other people how to live their lives all the time. I needed to check, first of all, where I was with God. Was I walking with Christ? And basically, I wanted to be real in my faith. I wanted to be the real deal. I wanted to be a Christian who wasn't a pew fodder, you know, just turned up at church every Sunday or in the week, you know, sat there, sang a few songs, went away and just forgot everything about my Christian life. I wanted my Christian life to be real. I wanted to be on fire for the Lord. I want to be an authentic Christian. And so I invested a lot of time and energy. And I was, and always have been very much aware, as God spoke to Samuel in the Old Testament, where Samuel was trying to choose a new king, and God said to Samuel, "Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart." And I thought, well, if God's looking at our hearts all the time, why am I spending all my time trying to just impress people around me? Trying to make sure that I give a good impression, a shop window looks good, you know, but actually inwardly, I'm not walking with the Lord at all. You know, I there is nothing there. There's no passion or excitement. So over the years, that's where I've tended to put my energies. Sometimes it works out well, and other times it hasn't done. But God has laid upon my heart that, Steve, if you want to tell others about me, you need to know me. Not know about me, you need to know me as your personal saviour. So what was God's response to Sardis and our own spiritual apathy and indifference? What was God's response? Wake up! I wanted to shout that really loud, but I was really fearful of killing a few people off. You know. But God, I'm sure the Lord raised his voice on this. I'm sure God raised his voice. But he's called us to wake up. And I think when I think of waking up, I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as well, where Jesus kept on finding his disciples asleep. and you go back and you wake them up again, and then you go off to pray, come back, find them asleep again. And Jesus said to his disciples, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And whenever I think of that, I think of our lifetimes, an hour in God's sight. That's a lifetime for us, because God's not restricted with time. You know, and I feel God is saying to us as his people, those of us who are Christians, could you not watch with me? Could you not stay spiritually awake for one lifetime? It's not much to ask. You know, can't you just stay awake? And yet, I think the Lord can sometimes find us asleep, spiritually asleep. And we find ourselves switched off to God working in our lives. But certainly for me, and this is what I believe the Lord needs to do in all of us, really, is we need that fresh move of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives anyway, because we need Christ in us. We've just been talking about football, and I can't play football at all. Not very good at it. When I used to play, I was just to get in the way, so that the people who could play would end up catching up and deal with what needs to be done with. But I was just to get in the way. And I shared with that guy last week, became a Christian, that we need Christ in us, you see. And I said, like, take for instance football. You could give me a book on, you know, 10 easy steps in learning how to play football. I could read it from front to back. It wouldn't make any difference. You know, I am rubbish at football. I'm left-footed, but I've got 2 left feet. I'm rubbish at it. What I would need is somebody like Harry Kane to climb inside me and to play that football through me. Somebody, or Ronaldo, or somebody like that. Then I'd have a chance. You know, get some, you know, the real deal inside me. Then I would be able to play the game. And God knows this about us. He's given us his word, but that isn't it on its own. He's given us his Holy Spirit. So his Holy Spirit works in us and through us so that we can live a life that's pleasing to God. He's given us kingdom power. And I remember as a young man, I was about 17 at the time, and I knew something was missing in my life. Don't get me wrong, when Jesus comes into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in. I believe in that. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. He's sealed in you as a deposit, you know. But we leak, you know. We tend to get dry in our walk with God, you know. And we can end up just going through routine. And what we need is a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. We need, you know, God to just, you know, so we overflow. You know, not just a little bit, but just an outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives. And I kind of sense this as a young man. Something was missing. And, you know, I remember our youth leaders at the time saying, you need to pray that God would fill you anew with his Holy Spirit. And I remember being at home on my own, kneeling by my bed. I thought, I'll do it right. I'm kneeling down. And I just said to God, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know, just whatever that means. I didn't really know what. Just fill me, more of you in my life. And I prayed various other things. I climbed into bed and I just laid there. And do you know, I had such an overwhelming sense of the power of God coming upon me. You know, there was nobody around, so I wouldn't put on a show. I was on my own, and a real move of God came upon me. And it was like an unbelievable joy and a tangible presence of God within me. That I jumped out of bed, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I wanted to ring everybody up and tell everybody how brilliant God was. And you know, it was just amazing. But what it showed me as a young man, that you know, that there is a presence of God that, you know, that changes the way we do things. You know, he is not, it's not just convincing ourselves up here, But we can love God with all our hearts as well. You know, He is satisfying. There's something amazing about the presence of God in our lives. And you may be sat here today feeling, yeah, well, I kind of don't feel like that. You know, we all have different experiences. Yeah, well, you might not have that kind of experience. But what I do think that we're all, as Christians, entitled to is the fullness of Christ. You know, it's just not like half a cup. Let's have the cup overflowing. You know, so there's no room for anything else but the presence of God. And it just blew me away. I haven't quite had something on that experience since, but I see it's like a dam bursting. That's why I saw it in my life. The dam burst and just that steady flow of God in my life. Ezekiel 36, it says this: I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And when I'm reading through this, it's obviously God putting His Holy Spirit within us, where God is saying, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And, you know, so much of our Christian lives we think is about what we're doing. You know, if we're being very clever, here I am, the preacher, they need to be really good at it, you know, or really good at sharing the gospel. You know, got to know all the texts and everything. And yes, we do need to know the word of God. But we mustn't forget, is God at work in us? You know, that's where the power is, the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to be saying to God is more of you. You know, sometimes I feel like a stone, you know, and I need to have a heart of flesh. Come on, God. I'm ready. You know, just pour your Holy Spirit on in my life. Or are we already kind of topped up to here with our own self-righteousness and self-importance and stuff like that? We need to say, Lord, I'm making room for you. More of you. You know, you need to revive me. You need to kind of bring me to life again. We need that dwelling of Holy Spirit. So God says, well, first of all, I want you to wake up. All right? And that's where I feel we need to be crying out for Holy Spirit to bring us alive spiritually again. Wake up. Secondly, we need to wise up. We need to wise up. What did God say through the angel? He said, strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. So we need to refine and develop our walk with the Lord. There is that temptation to think, well, I'm a Christian now. That's job done. You know, I'm just going to kind of free will, you know, my walk with the Lord for the rest of my life. No, we need to be continually refining our walk with Him. You know, like taking off that dross off the gold. You know, God is not finished what He has set out to do in our lives. And so we need to strengthen what remains. Do you know, those embers in our lives can be brought back to a burning fire through the power of the Holy Spirit and through prayer. And I'm very conscious of that recently. More prayer. And prayer that's prayed earnestly, you know, where we cry out to God that we would strengthen what remains. We need to remember what we have received and heard. We've received Christ. That ought to make a difference in our lives. Got Jesus Christ in our lives. You know, I think that was one of the things that was put to, was at Ephesus. Remember your first love. You know, can you remember when you first became a Christian? How great it was, how life-changing it was. And the Lord's saying, come on, remember, you know, what you have done by receiving me into your life. That, you know, that relationship. And if that relationship's kind of petered off, then the Lord wants to bring it back again to not only to how it used to be, but even better still. And also, remember the word that you've heard. We're very quick to forget God's promises to us. And we need to remember. So remember what you have received and heard. Obey it. Wow. I think if we could just obey it, we transform the church in this country overnight. Is living in obedience. That's not so easy. But that's what God expects from us. To be obedient. And then to repent. Which means to change your mind. By changing your mind should lead to action. The way that you've just been doing things for maybe years now, change the way you think. That it'd be Christ-like. The way he thinks. No, but this is me. That Christ wants to change the way we think, and that it will affect our actions, and that we certainly would turn away from sin. So we need to wake up, and we need to wise up, and we need to be real in our faith. We need to be obedient to Jesus Christ. There were a group of people in Sardis who were like this. And I know you probably sat there thinking, well, it'd be nice if it was me. That's how I want the Lord to think about me. I want to be that group where the Lord says they will walk with me dressed in white. I want to be the real deal. I don't want to be just somebody who's full of hot air, knows what to say, knows how to impress people, but inside I'm just like a stuffed animal. I'm dead. There's nothing there. I don't want to be like that. I want to be alive in him. And let's finish with a warning, because time's almost gone. In verse 3, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So there is a warning that some may decide, nope, I'm going to stay spiritually asleep. And I suppose that could be true of some of us here today. This needs to be taken seriously, this warning from God. For those who don't know Jesus at all, there will come a time where Christ will return, or we die and we're stood before him. And if we haven't acknowledged him in this life, he won't acknowledge us when we're stood before him. I can't think of anything worse. I don't know what it's going to be like, a lake of fire or that kind of stuff. I don't know. But one thing I do know from what Scripture says is that we will eternally be separated from God. And I can't think of anything worse than that. Never being in the presence of God, never having the opportunity again to give your life to him, to be forgiven, to be in the presence of God, one of his children. It's a terrible thing. And that could be somebody here today. If it is, and God's already speaking to you, and you said, I'd like to have Christ in my life. I want to be walking with him. I want to be dressed in white, as it were, clean. Then come and speak to me or somebody here who you know loves the Lord. For the rest of us, if Christ returns, yes, I believe that we retain our salvation. But if he finds us spiritually asleep, how sad is that? How tragic is that? That God finds us switched off and not in tune with him, not walking with him. I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I want to be alive in him. I want to be somebody who's, who's kind of responded to God's calling and walking with him and in step with him. And where he says, this guy, he's walking with me. He's dressed in white. I want to be one of these people. The Apostle Paul said he makes it his goal to please God. That's what he said in Scripture. I make it my goal to please him. And it's kind of, he's got it in a nutshell. Where is our goals in life? Because if our goal is to please God, we wouldn't switch off. We wouldn't be asleep. We'd be actively making sure that we are awake and walking with Him. And that is what the Lord wants for each one of us today. As Warren Wiersbe says, the church that does not reach out will eventually pass out. If you don't reach out, you'll pass out. Praise God, you've got Craig coming along. He's helping you out. But if you think Craig's going to do it all, then you're in for a bit of a shock, because it's a team effort. This warning to Sardis, it's not just the kind of the collective group, if you like, the warning. It's to the individuals. That's what makes up the church. So we need to look at our own lives here today. God has not called us to be pew fodder. You know, He's called us to be alive in Him. And He's given another warning. He wants us, there's that emergency room situation again. He wants us to be alive. That's His plan. That's what His desire is. And we can step into that straight away. I know I've been quite challenged by this myself. In preparation, I've had a heads up today. But I'm already dealing with these things in my own life. Where am I? I'd hate to be a preacher who just gives it from the platform but doesn't live in the good of it himself. You know, a hypocrite. I would really hate to go down that road. So I've got a responsibility for, you know, in my life to wake up as well. So we're in this together. And my prayer is, you know, for Slavebrook, that as a church, that each one of us would say, well, where am I? Am I asleep in Christ? Am I living in apathy and indifference? If you are, you can do something about it, because that's what God wants. He's right with you today. And my prayer is that you would, even right now, but certainly you would go away and in your quiet space, get before God and ask Him to wake you up and to bring you in step with Him again. Let's be a church where God has only good things to say about us. And we could see this church being effective in the community around us, but also, you know, with our family, friends, work colleagues, you know, etc., that we would suddenly be alive and burning brightly for Christ. So what do we need to do? Wake up and wise up. Wake up and wise up, and let's walk with Christ dressed in white. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I just, you know, I can't find the words, enough words to describe really what You want. So I'm asking You, Holy Spirit, to minister in our hearts and in our minds what it means to walk with You, what it means to be awake in You. Will You speak to us, we pray? Will You kind of bring us back to that place of excitement and, wow, isn't God good? Isn't He great? I must tell somebody. Lord God, bring us back to that place. Holy Spirit, will You do the work that needs to be done in our lives? Be glorified in this church, we pray, in Your precious name. Amen.